Have you ever felt like giving up, on life, on faith, maybe even yourself? Listen, you are not alone, but I have really good news for you today, and it's simply this. This message is for you. Hi, and welcome to episode number two of the First Presbyterian Church Rogers Podcast. I'm your host, the pastor here, John Arnold, and I am really glad you have found us today because I'm super excited about this message. We are going to look at an absolutely unforgettable story from Olympic history. It's got moments of heartbreak, of love, of perseverance, but more importantly, it fantastically captures some important truths from the Word of God that we find at the end of Hebrews 11 and the beginning of Hebrews chapter 12. You're going to be reminded today that no matter how hurt you feel and down on the track you are, that God is right there for you to pick you up, to help you go across the finish line, and that He has surrounded you with a great cloud of witnesses that are supporting you in ways you probably never imagined. So let's go ahead and dive in. Now, I want to invite you, as we do every week in worship, to take a nice big deep breath with me. And as you do so, let it out. And know that you're in the hands of a living God. Listen now for the message that God has for you today. We're going to dive into our New Testament lesson is in Hebrews 11:29 through 12:2. I invite you to join me in that. Listen now to God's holy word. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah of David, and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fires, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war. But foreign armies to fight, women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet, all of these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Blessed be the reading and the hearing of God's word this morning. I want to start recalling a story about a race that almost nobody remembers who won. They remember something different from that day. And it's a story from the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona. There was a man there, Derek Redmond. Anybody know that name? Know this story? Oh, good. That's a great story. Derek Redmond, he was from Great Britain. He had run in Seoul, Korea 4 years earlier. Due to an injury, he got taken out early, and his hopes around the Olympics were kind of dashed, and for 4 years he trained hard. He came back 4 years later to Barcelona, stronger, faster, better than he had been before. As they were running trials for the 400 meter race, which was his event, he was doing great. The first race, easily qualified to get in the second, and then the third was the semifinals. Now, if you ever watch a 400 meter race, it's really hard to know who's winning at first, because, well, period, throughout the race, because they stagger their starts, so everybody's spread out as they go around the track. And Derek, while you couldn't tell whether he was going to win or not that semifinal, he was 100% rock solid in the pace he needed to be in to be able to qualify to go to finals and potentially win a gold medal. He was about 300 meters around that 400 meter run, and he says, "I heard this strange pop, and then he felt excruciating pain, and he had torn his hamstring while running." Has anybody done that? It is horrid. I did it once playing OPYP kickball. Now you're like, what is OPYP kickball? And it will explain my injury. It is old people versus young people kickball. And I recall being on first base and someone getting a hit, and I'm like, yeah! And I'm like, whew, whew, whew. And I went, ah, as my right hamstring popped. And it was excruciating. A friend of mine who has no empathy and no compassion yelled out, "Sniper!" as I fell to the ground. I'm like, dude, I'm in pain here. This is not funny. So I empathize with Derek. Derek went down. He fell to one knee, and he was clutching his hamstring, and he just had his head buried in his face, or in his hand. He had his face just buried in his hand, clearly in pain. He's crying. All the other runners finished the 100 meters, and as he sat there for a while, he finally pushed himself up, and he did this weird kind of hop run, trying to finish the race even though it was over. And he's got tears. He can barely put weight on that foot, and he's trying to get that 100 yards. And the audience, the 66,000 people in the stadium, were just holding their breath and in awe and cheering. And I mean, they didn't know what to do with that. And then there was someone leapt over the barrier onto the track, ran out. There were security people at the edge trying to grab this guy and hold him back. He shoved them away like they were paper towels. And he ran over and he grabbed hold of Derek and wrapped his arm around him. And it was a man named Jim, and it was Derek's father. And he could not watch his son in pain trying to finish that race by himself. And he told his son, "We started this together, we're going to finish it together." And he helped him across that finish line. I love that story. I love that story. It is so rich with so many lessons of faith. Because that's our story, and it's the story Hebrews tries to get. Hebrews says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses," I want to start there before we get to the love of that Father, which is the heart of it. But let's start with that great cloud of witnesses. You know, we're sitting here, each of us in this room, and it's really easy to feel alone in our world. That's why I think our vision placed in our heart by God to place of deep connection is so important. We are in a very broken world where it is very difficult to feel isolated. There was a study who came out recently, and it was showing differences in what's going on with generations on a scale of different things. And for the current generation, the level of neuroticism is risen dramatically, and their sense of isolation has plummeted into a horrid place, their sense of connection. and they're struggling, they are drowning. In the midst of a cloud of great witnesses around them. It's so important that we remember and recall that we are in a great cloud of witnesses. What does that mean? There are these people of faith, the saints around us that we see every day right here in the pew next to us today. But there are saints that have gone before us, and their prayers uphold us even in their passing. That may sound like a weird thing to say. I never thought about that until literally yesterday in my devotional time. I'm continuing that drawing circles devotional guide. I did the part of my prayer series. I'm at the midway point. And this author was talking about how different experiences where he saw the prayers of his grandparents come to fruition in him long after they had passed. And I never thought about the fact that our prayers have an eternal value to them. That prayers we're praying today may be answered today, but sometimes those prayers are answered long after we're gone. Because God hears our prayer, but has a better timing than what we have in mind. He doesn't seem to get my memos on timing. And I'm glad he doesn't read my memos on how it should be done, because he always does better. but he hears our prayers and he responds in his infinite and deep wisdom. And sometimes that means he answers our prayers long after we have a connection with someone anymore, or even after we're gone. And that's pretty humbling to think about the fact that people who maybe prayed for you when you were a little toddler in Sunday school, that God has a grip on you today because of their prayers. A grandmother or an aunt or an uncle or a sibling, that their prayers were made for you, and perhaps you haven't seen them in years, but God has his hand on you and you are not alone. There is a great cloud of witnesses. That to me is humbling to realize, and it immediately makes me feel not as alone as I may want to feel. But the other thing is it just elevates my motivation to pray, because I realize what I do today in prayer could have an impact on someone's life years from now. Because God hears that prayer and treasures that prayer until the very right moment to answer it. And we have this great cloud of witnesses we need to be grateful for, and we need to participate with. And they cheer us on. They watch and they see what is going on and they cheer us on. And we have people interceding for us that we don't even realize are praying for us. It's always humbling to me when I have had someone come up to me and say, "You know, I pray for you every day." I've had that happen before, and I just, whew, really? I didn't know that. But you know what? I felt it. I didn't know who it was, but I felt it. It's probably what made the difference on some mornings when I got up and I got out of bed. So there's this amazing cloud of witnesses, and we can be a part of that right now. It doesn't just have to be in the sweet by and by. We can embrace the people around us in great prayer, and we can lean into the prayers of the people around us. That's part of being the great cloud of witnesses. But we're not just meant to be in the stands, you know? Like, we're not, being a disciple is not a spectator sport. We don't just show up and sit in the stands with the 66,000 that watch on, but to be down on the track with somebody. And I love this image of Derek Redmond's story of the father coming down onto the track. Because when we read in Psalm 80, "Restore us, O God, make your face shine on us that we may be saved." It's written by Israel, who knew what it meant to stumble and to fall and to be down on the track. When we look at the prophets, almost all of those are pictures of moments where Israel is down on the track. Sometimes by circumstance, sometimes not at all they're doing. That happens. Sometimes we're going through life, things come in and they knock us down. They take us out and we find ourselves down on the track and we had no control of it. Sometimes we find ourselves down on the track and we go, "That was really stupid. I shouldn't have done that. I wasn't ready for that race. I had no business doing what I did." I still keep playing old people, young people, just by the way. I haven't learned from that mistake. But sometimes it's our own doing, right? I should have stretched that day and it probably wouldn't have happened. Or somebody helped me up, they said, "John, little steps, you know? Sometimes we have to adjust our stride. We take a bigger stride than we're ready for and we hurt ourselves. And when Israel cries out, "Restore us, O God," God hears that. And he doesn't stay in the stands. He gets nitty gritty down in the dirt of our lives where we're on the track and takes hold of us and lifts us up and we can lean on God. And he says to us, "What we started together, let's finish together." There's a song on... we sing on pilgrimage weekends. I'm not going to sing it for you, so nobody, don't get ready to cringe. but it's called "He Who Began a Good Work in You," and it's based on Philippians. And I'll try to remember it without singing it, but "He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it." He's faithful to complete it. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it in you. And I think that's, that verse in Philippians, it's God's cry to us as children, like Jim's cry to his son of, "We began this together, we're going to finish it together." I also love the fact that he was right on the track, holding on to him and walking with him, because that's what God does with us. That's the nature of the incarnation. The incarnation of Jesus Christ is the very best expression of that. It is God with us, Emmanuel, down on the track. It's not God standing across the finish line in heaven going, get up, come on, you can do it. I do think God encourages us in that way, but when he sees and he knows we are beyond our capacity, he doesn't stand at the finish line chastising us to do better. He comes out onto the track and he lifts us up. And he carries us over the finish line. Now, if we look at Derek's story, who is the winner that day, right? You know, like, we could debate that a long time. I don't even know the name of the guy who got the Olympic gold. I feel sorry for that guy, because probably nobody was talking about his gold medal the next day, and we're talking about Derek Redmond for days and days and days, even his dad, Jim, you know. But who won that day? Was it the guy that got the gold? Was it Derek? Was it Dad? And I think the answer, and it's the answer that ought to be the answer for the race we won, what people remember and what won the race that day was love. That's why our hearts are so moved by that story, because love won. Love won the race that day. And that's the legacy that we ought to leave, no matter who we are as believers. It's not about, when we're called to run this race, it's not about running faster or better than somebody else. It's not about a victory that we sort of stand and linger in the bright basking glow of it. It's about love winning. That's what our legacy should be. And so I would urge you to look at your race and see what are, every day when you get out of that bed and you get and you start taking one step after the other, no matter how quickly, what's the finish line it's trying to bring you across? Is it love? That's a bottom line. Is it love? Because love lasts. Love of God, love of our neighbor, love lasts, and love wins. I don't know about you, but I look at my steps and some of them, I go, well, I'm not even on the track. I'm not even sure I'm in the stadium right now. I had a humbling moment just a couple days ago. Some of you know I was finishing up a yoga certification. I have to do so many hours every few years to keep my certification up. And one of the things I had to do was I had to tally up my practice hours and submit them because I had to have at least 30 hours. Now, you're going to be shocked when you hear this, but I didn't keep track of those as they were happening. So I don't know why, but I didn't keep up with those. And this meant I had to go back to YouTube and I had to pull up my history and I had to scroll through and find the yoga practices I had done. It was humbling because I got in there and I'm scrolling and I do yoga literally every day. Now the practices that qualified for that weren't every day, but really close. And I found, even though I just was looking for something a day or two later, I'm sitting here swiping through my history. I'm like, how many videos did I watch that day? And there's just short after short after short after, because I'm really bad. I am really bad about having a down moment. I'm stuck somewhere and I open up and I see a short and I'm like, oh. And I flip and I'm like, oh, that is the stupidest cat I've ever seen. Wow, I can't believe that child said that. I wonder which parent used that word. You know, like, I can do that and get lost in that. And I start going through my history and I'm scrolling up and I'm just like, oh, surely there's something I watched in there that was of value. And it was humbling in two ways. It was humbling in that I realized just how many moments that I squandered doing that for nothing. Nothing of value. Maybe a moment of laughter, but for the most part, no value in it. I can't tell you a tenth of the things I probably viewed. But what was more humbling was thinking about the idea, what if God goes in and he pulls up sort of the John Arnold YouTube channel and pulls up the history of my life. And my life is a whole series of, you know, film clips he's thumbing through looking for. And God's going, when was he faithful? Oh, there it is. Is that it? You know, like, what if God looks at the reels, the clips of my life, and he has to mine for the moments where I was faithful and where love won the race. I don't know about you, I don't want that to be my legacy. I do not want that to be my legacy. And I think God's trying to, I don't want to wait for a third time. There's a common theme here. I remembered as I was thinking through this sermon and that this whole video thing may be an issue for me, because how many, you remember the days of Blockbuster and video stores? We had one by our house. I could walk to it. It was a really dangerous thing. And I walked up there all the time. And I would go and I got to know everybody. Everybody got to know me. I felt like Norm in Cheers, if you remember that series. I walked through, but John, hey, you know. I could not have my card, not have money. Oh, that's okay. Put it on my video tab. Who had a video tab? I had a video tab, you know, like, what in the world? And I remember one day as I was browsing around, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to waste more time on this. I'm like, I had this vision, and I got to, like, this needs to be my intervention day or something. I had this vision of me, and they're like lowering me down, and there's all these video rental store employees standing around my grave weeping. You know, I'm going to miss him so much. He would always rewind. If you don't know what that means, Google it. But seriously, how are we spending our lives? Are we running a race? And when we fall, are we giving up? Are we standing up knowing that a loving Father will step on that track and take us over the line? Are we willing to endure the painful moments knowing that a loving God? I think that was the witness of that first part of Hebrews, where it listed all the things that people went through and they didn't initially see the promise, but God had a better promise in mind for them. He saw them go down. he had a better finish for them. So I just want to charge you. I want to charge you to take seriously the great cloud of witnesses around you, and that you have no idea how many people have probably prayed for you. No idea. And there's somebody out there who needs your prayer, and they don't even realize it. So be a great part of that great cloud of witnesses. Face the pain, the injuries, the wound. If you feel wounded by guilt over something, if you feel wounded by just depression sucking you down, if you feel wounded by your circumstances right now, trust and lean into a loving Father who is on the track with you, and run a good race. Praise be to God that we have a God who doesn't sit in the stands, but loves us enough to step on the track for us. Praise be to God. Once again, thank you so much for joining us for today's episode from First Presbyterian Church of Rogers, Arkansas. We would love to stay connected with you. So find us in all the places. We're on YouTube, Facebook, etc. And when you do so, be sure to subscribe or follow. And we look forward to sharing with you future messages. And if this ministry has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting us by going over to our website, fpcrogers.com, and check out the giving link. We could really use your help in spreading God's love to help people grow in worship, study, fellowship, and service. So once again, thank you for listening, and may God bless and keep you until the next episode.